Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm beginning this show in order to continue to spread the word about PTSD service dogs in general, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and just various aspects of service dog life.
How do you deal with the adversity that can occur when somebody objects to the presence of your service dog?
Focus on your dog.
A service dog cannot be a protector. Many handlers don't know what they can't do.
The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on WDVR DV Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. Thanks for joining us. We've been on a brief hiatus and it's good to be back. Before we get started with tonight's guest, I'd like to remind you that there are a myriad of shows here on WDVR, DV Radio, one of which is Not Another Military Spouse, which airs on Fridays at 1900 hours. That's 7 p.m. for you potatoes every week. Check out Owl, Shrew, and Raven, military spouses who tell it like it is, uncensored, right here on DV Radio, WDVR. So tonight on the Service Dog Show, my guest is Justin Tucker, handler of Roxy, the PTSD service dog, who is the 2018 American Humane Society's Hero Dogs Awards service dog category winner. And as of the airing of this show, we will find out whether or not Roxy won Top Dog. That will be announced at the All Awards Gala in Hollywood, California on Saturday, the 29th of September. So yesterday, if you're listening to this show on Sunday. Justin, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having us.
And first of all, again, I'm going to remind the listeners, we're recording this a week before the gala event in Hollywood, California. But you've had, since Roxy won the service dog category, you've had quite a lot of adventures.
That's say the least. Ever since we've found out that Roxy had won her category of the American Humane Hero Dog Awards, it's literally been almost an everyday thing with being in the newspapers, local news broadcasts, being on national news. It's really been overwhelming, but it's been an awesome experience so far, and I'm really excited to see what the weekend of the gala holds.
Yeah. Now, why did you decide to join the competition and enter Roxy?
I decided to enter and join the American Humane Hero Dog Awards for the sole fact that I believe Roxy is a hero dog for many different reasons, but I think the one reason is that given that she is a bully mix, you know, that whole pit bull stigma, you know, it's good for the world to actually see what these dogs are really capable of and what the possibilities of owning these dogs could really be instead of that negative media stigma that they always put on the breed.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just good to, you know, a positive promotion of the breed.
Absolutely agree. And I'm very glad that you decided to join simply for the overwhelming blow that Roxy's win has struck against the breed stigma, the exclusionists, if you will. And, you know, I know you battle with breed misconceptions about Roxy and Mingo, the amazing rescue dog, who is Mingo your wife's service dog?
Yes. Mingo belongs to Bethany. Mingo was a rescue dog from South Carolina, and he was severely mistreated. And when we received Mingo, we got him back to health. Bethany is a professional dog trainer. She owns Cold Mountain Canine here in Waynesville, North Carolina. She basically turned Mingo into an abused animal, into a really amazing, obedient dog that can do search and rescue training. But he's mainly for Bethany's service dog. She has fibromyalgia, and some days it's hard for her to get up out of bed or walk. And so she uses Mingo for a mobility support dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just completely amazing, given the opportunity, you know, to train Mingo from being an abused dog to who he is now. It just shows that these dog spirits can't be broken. Mm-hmm. And given the opportunity, they are truly amazing dogs.
They definitely are. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to take attention away from Roxy as much as bring attention to the fact that you're very much involved in advocacy for quote unquote pit bulls or bully breeds.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I myself, we have Freya, who is a 6-month-old boxer, indeterminate pit bull type dog, and possibly a little husky mix. And I'm going to tell you, having a boxer pit puppy is a real adventure.
I can imagine. Even the with energy, a little husky mix throw in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The energy and there's no polite way to describe it. This puppy's crazy. She's just nuts. And not anything like my experience raising Alaskan Malamutes. So
yeah.
I can't even imagine having, you know, more fully pit type dogs, how much of an adventure it can be training and working with them. I'm learning, and the learning curve's pretty steep.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's learning. Right now, we are fostering a 10-month-old red nose right now. I guess that's not the proper term, but it's a red bully dog.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 3 bullies in the house with the Belgian Malinois, and everybody gets along. Everybody enjoys. You know, it's nice to see that every day we train these dogs, we're breaking the stereotypes. We're breaking that negative stigma of, oh my God, that dog is not meant to be around other dogs. That dog is not meant to be a family dog. Mm-hmm. When literally we're breaking everything that the media has put out. And yeah, it just shows that these dogs are wonderful dogs.
Well, and you know, this is just my personal experience in the sled dog world. Really, the way the dogs behave reflects directly on how the dogs are treated. And
yes,
you can have a quote-unquote killer, mean, horrible dog, but when you look at what's done to the dog by humans,
yeah,
you find the source of where this dog has become so dangerous. And I think it's true with any breed. But pit bulls get a bad rap, and really, it's because that's the breed humans chose to train to fight. And
that's a very unfortunate thing, because sometimes with genetics, you always get that one dog that is not suitable to be in a family situation or be around other dogs or other humans. But that does not, you know, that's just not one breed. There are many breeds that always have that oddball that, you know, just doesn't, you know, unfortunately make the cut for life. And, you know,
yeah,
I hate to
yeah
be like that, but they always put that on the pit bull or the bully mixes. They're singling out every single dog that has ever been born of a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Is an aggressive dog, will never
yeah
be a family dog.
Yeah.
And I think that's wrong. You're already stereotyping something before it's even shown to you what it's capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree. And it's a horrible, quite frankly, I call it breedism. Essentially, it's
yes
an animal version of racism.
Exactly.
And, you know, we know it's unacceptable to have that kind of attitude towards other human beings. But it's okay to be a breedist and have the same attitude based on misconceptions, misunderstanding, and miseducation about
exactly
dogs. I find that that's absolutely ridiculous.
It is appalling. And that's why every time we go out into society, even if it is to go to Walmart to get a few items on the list, you know, if anybody comes up and asks questions or they got concerns, because most people, they don't get to see a service dog every single day. And especially seeing a service dog where dogs are not really permitted, people are interested. Mm-hmm. They want to know, you know, what's going on. And that's where we try to, you know, be as polite as possible. You know, we're going to always come across those individuals that are going to have their sly, snarky comments. But, I mean, there are the ones that want to truly know what's going on. And that's where we educate those to where hopefully they can go back and educate others.
Yeah, definitely. And the Hero Dog Awards is a fantastic opportunity to spread positive education and real information about pit bulls, for lack of a better term.
Because
it's not a breed. It's a type. So I've been rooting for Roxy all along. And in a lot of ways, I kind of feel bad because Banner was in the running this year, too. But there's not a lot of the same kind of breedist misconceptions about Huskies as there is about pit bulls. Pit bulls probably, in my opinion, the most maligned breed in America. And so I just thought it was awesome to see Roxy doing so well. And when they announced that she won, I was
very shocking. Yeah.
I was really thrilled.
And see, there was a lot of good competition. You speak of Banner. We have trained with Banner before. We have met Banner. Banner was a great dog. Very, very high energy dog. Loved to play. Her and Roxy ran around the park. You know, and it's not just, you know, a single breed that's a better dog than that's how they are raised and it's how they are trained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just shows that there was, you know, there was Banner. There's Roxy, you know, with Kenny Bass, with Atlas, a German Shepherd. Mm-hmm. There's so many different types of dogs that do make the cut for service dog to where it's truly amazing to just see all the different breeds, what they are capable of doing and not what the media says, what they can't do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the point I think people need to bring away from that is that there's no specific breed of dogs that are the only ones that should be service dogs. Any breed of dog is capable of being trained to perform tasks to assist their disabled handler. But individual animals of a breed, mixed or purebred, are what makes service dogs. The one dog of a litter that specifically had the right traits, the right predilections to be able to understand and accept the training and succeed in the places where service dogs are taken with their handlers.
Mm-hmm.
And not just any dog. I mean, any breed can be a service dog, but it takes a special dog to be able to do so.
And that's why, you know, with training, it's amazing what a little bit of training. I believe every dog should have at least basic obedience, you know, because then you can really enjoy the full potential of the dog, you know, instead of just leaps being outside out on a chain and tethered and never being able to be played with, you know, a little bit of basic obedience. You could have an off-leash dog running around to be able to recall when you need it. And, you know, I highly believe that every dog deserves the opportunity to show what it's capable of doing.
Absolutely. I do a lot of off-leash work with Skeeter around the house, not generally in public, because as the ADA states, service dog must be on leash unless the leash interferes with their ability to perform a task. So, of course, when we're out in public, he remains leashed. I got to tell you, Alaskan Malamutes are absolutely notorious for being adventurers. I'm going to use a good word, adventurers.
So I've heard. Yeah,
they love to explore. They were bred to run. They're working dogs. They're pulling dogs. And it has taken years to get to the point where I can walk out the back door with Skeeter and he can go potty and do what he needs to do and come back to me completely off leash. But you have no idea the feeling of accomplishment I have being able to say, I've trained my Alaskan Malamute to recall. Because that's not a Malamute trait in any way, shape, or form.
And I love the idea, you know, it's because you don't see that type of dog every day as a service dog. You know, it's always a German Shepherd, a Lab, and even a Golden Doodle nowadays.
Yeah, Doodles are pretty popular.
Yeah, I've had a few in our classes before, and they are wonderful dogs. Beth always wanted one, and I'm like, let's get a Dutch Shepherd, then we can get a Golden Doodle. But but I love the idea of Skeeter being able to, you know, do all these, you know, what normal service dogs, what you say, quote unquote, service dogs can do. Mm-hmm. Skeeter's out there doing it every day and just showing. And that's just, it's completely amazing just to know that there's others out there. You know, you're not just the only one in your county going, well, am I the only service dog? And it's like, you have other friends. There's a network out there and it's just truly amazing.
And I think the Hero Dog Awards is a great way, because service dog's not the only category.
There's a few other categories. I think there's seven categories total. Mm-hmm. Roxy was in service dog. There's therapy dog, emerging hero, law enforcement, military dog. Oh gosh, I probably left off a few, but there are amazing dogs this year that have won. I'm very excited to meet them on Wednesday when I get to Hollywood there. And I'm very excited because this is Roxy's first big event that she's ever done. Mm-hmm. And with her being the first ever bully pit bull mix to win the service dog category ever, this is a big monumental thing.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing for the veteran community. And the bully community, you know, it shows that, you know, not every veteran is broken down and useless. And it doesn't show that not every bully dog is that worthless dog. You know, combined together, you can make a phenomenal team together.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about the gala and what are you expecting?
A lot of nervousness from my end. No, they have a huge event planned out. It's going to be completely amazing. It's going to be brought on by Zoetis, Lois Pope Foundation, Life Foundation. My category sponsor, Paws and Stripes, are going to be out there. It's going to be pre-recorded by the Hallmark Channel, and that will air October 24th on your local network of the Hallmark Channel.
Okay. So although the gala is on the 29th, the actual program's not on the 29th.
It's a pre-recording. Then when we go out there September 29th, it'll be live for the people that are out there, but it won't be like live on TV.
Gotcha.
It'll be pre-recorded because then the Hallmark Channel adds all their commercials and all their editing,
the stories and all of that.
Yes.
Right?
All the tribute videos, they collaborate it all together and make it a nice program. It's a 2-hour program. On the Hallmark Channel, and I actually had to do a commercial for our local charter TV Spectrum, and so our local community here will end up seeing me on their TV at the beginning of October promoting the Hero Dog Awards with Roxy.
Awesome!
So that was very exciting.
Yeah,
very exciting, very nerve wracking.
Yeah, and you're very involved in your community. You do outreach work with the sheriff's department. I've seen you post stories about talking with the fire departments and really working to bring awareness about service dogs and about pit bulls in your local community. Where do you think that winning the Hero Dog Award, how do you think that's going to help build your outreach?
Definitely. With having PTSD as an Iraq combat veteran, service dogs are not just for the ones wounded in war. Mm-hmm. You know, PTSD is for everyone, unfortunately. And with the outreach of working with the law enforcement community, you know, EMS, fire department, you know, they are all veterans in their own world, and unfortunately, they can develop PTSD too. And with
absolutely.
collaborating with everybody together and let them know, hey, we are here to help. You know, the education of knowing you don't just have to have this individual type of dog, not even a bully breed. Whatever dog that would make the temperament test and actually make the cut will be the right dog for you. And just the idea of knowing that service dogs and even bully dogs, which are most common in your shelter, these dogs have the capability of being just like Skeeter, just like Roxy, if not better, and if just given the opportunity. And, yeah, you know, absolutely. One life saved out of the shelter is one life saved from, you know, a firefighter or, you know, a police officer losing their life because of PTSD.
Mm-hmm,
and being able to help everybody and bring attention to the service dogs, even here locally in the community, the word will spread, and it's just going to help everybody overall.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's part of the reason why I wrote the book too, is to bring awareness of the fact that PTSD is not just a veteran condition; it's a human condition, and that there are avenues of assistance. Of which, of course, the service dog is what I wrote about. Other than locking yourself away in a cabin 30 miles from anywhere and you know, becoming a hermit, there are treatments out there that don't necessarily involve being over medicated and turned into a zombie. And you know, there are other ways to help. And the PTSD service dog is absolutely, in my experience, every veteran I've talked to, it is the most powerful and most healing treatment for PTSD in every case. I don't think I've met a single veteran who has said, no, the service dog didn't help me in any way. It was a horrible experience.
I'm just blown away with how they actually help, you know, the VA with the medications. It doesn't really work all the time. Mm-hmm. You want that instant gratification, and that service dog will give it to you.
Well, you know, the medication route treats the symptoms, but the service dog treats the person
deep down inside.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. With that, we're going to take a short break. We will be back in a few moments with Justin Tucker, handler of Roxy, the PTSD service dog, the 2018 winner of America's Hero Dog Awards. You're listening to The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
You've been hearing from me about my book for the past 2 years on DV Radio. Now you can order a copy of PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and The Service Dog. Check it out on booklocker.com, barnesandnoble.com, and amazon.com. If you choose to purchase the book on Amazon, please consider using smile.amazon.com and picking the DV Farm as your charity of choice. Buy your copy of PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and The Service Dog today, only at booklocker.com, barnesandnoble.com, and amazon.com.
Ever shop online at smile.amazon.com? Why not give back to the DV Farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilson, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog, right here on DV Radio, WDVR. I'm here with Justin Tucker, handler of Roxy, the PTSD service dog, who is the 2018 winner of America's... Tell me the proper title of her title.
Roxy is the 2018 America's Humane Hero Service Dog, or you could call her the 2018 Hero Service Dog.
Hero Service Dog. And as of right now, as we're recording, do you know the results of the voting for Top Dog?
As of right now, it's anybody's win. The awards, you don't really know who is going to win. There's not like a tallied vote. Mm-hmm. So it's literally, you know, a guessing game, like who's going to win. And so that's what makes it exciting. It makes it, you know, you're waiting on stage because nobody knows. Nobody tells you anything until they announce it literally right there on stage. It's
awesome.
The Hero Dog Awards is like the Oscars for dogs. So if you could think of the Oscars for humans. We're going to walk a red carpet. We're going to have a huge event. We're excited to actually meet Miranda Lambert this year. She'll be one of the guest judges. So it's going to be really fun and interesting. And we're hoping that we can win, but we're happy that we won our category and we're just able to participate with everybody else.
Absolutely. I saw you made a post, I think it was on your personal page here within the last few days, saying that you initially thought you were just entering Roxy in a photo contest.
Yeah, I had entered Roxy last year, and unfortunately, she lost to Atlas the Wonder Dog.
Yep.
A wonderful competition. And like I said, I didn't really know the extent of the contest. I was just looking to merely add Roxy into a photo contest. Maybe somebody would repost her picture, you know, dog of the day. You know, I had no idea. It was the Oscars for dogs until I was up against one of the best service dogs in America. And it wasn't till then I knew that I think I barked off more than what I could, you know, chew. But then we did lose. Mm-hmm. But we carried that momentum and, you know, that upset from last year into this year to where we had a stronger fan base. A lot of the fans from last year and the new fans watched the Hero Dog Awards. They understood it more because I don't think a lot of Roxy's fans even knew that this competition existed until Roxy was entered in it. Mm-hmm. And then once they knew it was people's vote, everybody wanted to see Roxy in that winner's circle. So I can't thank the fans enough. If it wasn't for the fans, Roxy would not be the 2018 Hero Service Dog.
I'll tell you, when I saw that she'd made the semifinals, I posted on the PTS Dog page immediately. I pushed that as hard as I could for people to vote. I think it's absolutely amazing to see a pity, for lack of a better term, winning. It's a huge, huge step forward for the bully breeds.
Absolutely, to
win this award, massive.
And all it's going to do is just pave the way for hopefully more service dog companies, more service dog communities to open up and actually try to train more dogs in the shelter, even if they are pitties, if they are, you know, huskies, any type of dogs that would meet the criteria. More people need to consider that these dogs are not bad dogs. Give them the opportunity to shine, and they're going to perform.
Yes.
And we can't speak enough about training. You know, me and my fiance Bethany train every day constantly. I'm a volunteer trainer. It's her thing. I just like to help volunteer, so I don't get in her way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she does her thing, and she's phenomenal at it. And we're just big advocates for using the bullies as service dogs, and then people with disability just to use service dogs in general to maybe cut off that extra medication that's not needed.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And really, the invisibilities.
Yeah,
I just coined a new term. the awareness for invisible disabilities, I think, is important as well. Just because you don't have, you know, an artificial leg or are in a wheelchair, it doesn't mean that you don't have disabilities. Not all disabilities are visible. Say that exactly. 5 times fast. And people really need to learn more awareness about the people around them. And, you know, not everybody lives in this insular little bubble. And that's something I think we fall into a lot, especially in social media, is getting stuck in an echo chamber where the only people you see and hear from are people who are like you.
Exactly.
And
that's like a complacency issue where people mm-hmm. only get stuck on, well, if you're not an Iraq war veteran missing limbs or something, then, you know, you don't get this type of dog.
Right.
But then, you know, unfortunately, you know, people that have diabetes, people mm-hmm. that have Addison's disease, you know, there's a lot more hidden disabilities than what people think, than what just PTSD is.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
These dogs can be trained to alert on,
mm-hmm.
you know, dogs can alert to, you know, low blood sugar a lot quicker than, you know, you going, oh, wow, I think I feel dizzy before you even get to that part. That dog is already alerted before to that part.
I can attest to that personally. Skeeter
Amen.
Taught himself.
Amen.
I'm diabetic. Skeeter taught himself. In fact, he saved my life. I was fading very quickly from low blood sugar, and he came up to me, butted his head into my chest, and would not stop. He kept me awake, got me up so that I could fix myself some food. And I was in a haze. It was like I was drugged. It was terrible. And once I ate some food and my blood sugar started coming up, I realized what had happened, that he had alerted because my blood sugar had dropped dangerously low. And after eating, I took my sugar, which that's a process. It takes a couple minutes. And after eating, my sugar was only 86. So he literally, I was out camping when it happened. If I had passed out into a diabetic coma, nobody would have found my body for 3 days at least.
Yeah, and by then, that's too late.
Yeah,
Yet again, when people say you're not disabled, there's nothing wrong with you. Well, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot wrong with me more than what you know, and that's why I have this service dog. And
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, you don't have to justify why you have a service dog to the general public, just to, you know, the people that matter. But, you mm-hmm. know, education to the public
is super important. Yeah, not necessarily everybody matters. But when you go into a business, it's the employees of the business, the management of the business, who have the legal right to question your presence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's basically the only ones I would ever talk to. Unless you come up to me and address me with respect, that's what mm-hmm. you get. Because mm-hmm. then if I know it's going to turn sour, I don't acknowledge, because I have extreme PTSD from being in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very short fuse and temper, and I try to suppress that as much as possible. And, you know, that's why I do have Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, we are human, you know, and we can only take so much. So if you do see a service dog team out there, especially – it would look like a young man that happens to be a combat veteran. Give them their space. You know,
mm-hmm.
don't address the dog. Address the handler if you do address them. If not, admire them from afar, because you don't know what they're dealing with that day at that moment in time.
Absolutely. I don't think a lot of people understand that you don't know what's going on. You don't know why that – you don't know what the disability of the person with the service dog is. But what you need to know is if that dog is there, say in Walmart, it's there for a reason, or it should be. And interrupting that disabled handler's day can be very traumatic for that handler. And You know, one story I've read in a news story was a young lady in a wheelchair whose service dog was a seizure alert dog. And she was shopping in a grocery store, and a woman distracted the dog, insisted on petting the dog, drew the dog's attention away. The handler had a severe seizure, fell out of her wheelchair, ended up having to be taken to the emergency room in an ambulance.
Oh, goodness.
Because the dog, by being distracted, was not able to alert the handler so that she could take medication that would either stop or lessen the impact of the seizure immediately. And people don't get that. People think, oh, there's a dog. I get to pet it. And you don't know why that dog's there. And when you distract the dog, you can create a life-threatening situation. And that's something that's, it's really hard to get that across to the general public. And I know you do, you post it on your Facebook page. I post it on PTS Dog page, talking about, listen, leave the service dog alone. Talk to the person. Don't distract the dog. If you absolutely have to address the person because there's a dog, don't address the dog unless you ask.
Exactly. Do not. That's the number one thing we should try to stress to people in public is don't distract the dog. That is a working dog. You wouldn't bother somebody at work while they're busy doing mm-hmm. work, or you don't want somebody bothering you while you're at work. Mm-hmm. It's the same principle. Just because it's a dog, it's not just a dog. That is a working dog.
Yeah.
And you need to respect that.
Yeah.
And, you know, God forbid, you know, somebody was of a diabetic and you distracted that dog and it missed its alert. And now that handler is going to walk through that store and then possibly pass out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you have an issue that you just caused unnecessarily. Yeah. So.
Well, and you said the key word. The key word in that whole sentence was respect.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Respect the handler. Respect that the dog is performing vital work for that handler. Respect that it's there and it's necessary that it's there. And people have forgotten that in a lot of places these days.
I kind of feel like we need to have better education. That's why we use the platforms of our pages, our dog's pages, to better educate people, you know, because even a simple Facebook, it's probably easier to read, you know, some quality information on Facebook. I know not every bit of information on Facebook is real. Take it for what it's worth. But, you know, instead of somebody actually doing something and not realizing it and then maybe possibly being embarrassed or making a mistake, they can read and go, oh, I never knew that. So, and then mm-hmm. you never know, the next day they're out and actually see a service dog and know, I better not say nothing because God forbid, you know, that person, you know, that dog misses the alert.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's where we try to educate as much as possible. And I love using the platforms that we have for that.
Yeah. So I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
You have this massive opportunity as an ambassador for the veteran community, the disabled community, and the service dog handler community. How are you going to use it?
Well, sir, we're going to Disney World. No, just kidding.
Right on.
I've been waiting to say that for years. I know. Give me a minute to recoup. I'll remember what I was going to say. No, it's very important to know that we have a really high honor right now. Mm-hmm. There's not another bully dog, you know, at this high level of achievement. So it's important that we continue our mission, you know, even after the Hero Dog Awards, of promoting, you know, the positive use of these dogs for work, you know, for service dog work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we can help change, you know, laws, you know, how even people without disabilities that still have these type of dogs, you know, let's be able to change laws, how people do with housing, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of, you know, when I was still trying to rent, you know, even with Roxy having, you know, service dog, you know, paperwork from a training company to say, hey, she's task trained, she's this, here's her obedience, you know, certificates, it didn't matter. I still would catch, you know, flack from renters, you know, even though it was highly breaking the law, out here in the backcountry, people don't care, you know, and it don't need to be that way just because of a dog. Don't be, I don't remember the words you said, but racist towards dogs, basically.
Breedist.
Don't be a breedist.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I would love to be able to change the law on how renters, how businesses see these dogs,
mm-hmm.
and stop treating them with such discrimination.
Well, I mean, the law is clear. The Americans with Disabilities Act is clear in regards to businesses that there is no breed restriction, that any dog can be a service dog, and that you can only judge access on an individual basis. You know, if the dog comes in and is growling and snarling and barking, no matter how highly trained it is, if it's not under control of the handler, they have the right to ask the dog be removed.
Exactly.
And businesses, in my experience, in the outreach I do through the PTS Dog page, businesses don't understand that the ADA, the section of the ADA on service dogs gives them rights too. And it's really frustrating to me. In fact, I actually created a 16-slide PowerPoint presentation that breaks down to the very basics of service dog access for businesses to try to help spread education.
Oh, you have to let me see that. I'll share that on Roxy's page, though.
Yeah, I'll definitely send it to you. But, and it doesn't go into depth. It doesn't go into, you know, if the dog alters the fundamental nature of the business, that kind of stuff. It's mainly aimed at retail and restaurants,
right,
which is where service dog handlers have the most problems. Primarily, though, the reason we have the problems is people who are not disabled or who may be disabled but have not taken the time to make sure that their dog is adequately trained to be a service dog, bringing those dogs into public, raising a ruckus when questioned, demanding access, and threatening lawsuits when they don't truly have a service dog.
Exactly.
And I do not like the term fake service dog, because it's not the dog that's the problem. The dog didn't wake up and say, I think I'm going to go pretend to be a service dog at Walmart today. It was the handler, it was the owner. The dogs aren't the problem. It's people. It's unscrupulous people who have created the quote-unquote fake service dog problem.
It's a stigma. It's a really bad stigma. Yeah.
And you know, what it really boils down to is a lack of education. Businesses got it in their heads that if they questioned the presence of dogs, they would get sued, and nobody can afford the time and cost of a lengthy lawsuit. So they went too lax and started, you know, and I'm thinking specifically of large businesses like Walmart, big chains. They got too lax, and the people who were faking their service dogs said, hey, we're able to take Fifi the Wonder Poodle everywhere now, because all we have to do is say, this is my service dog, and I'm going to sue you. And we're finally starting to see the pendulum swing a little back the other way. We're seeing more positive education. And as much as I dislike the fact that there's legislation being written, some states are writing legislation that impose fines on people who do this, who take a dog that is not trained. Either the person is not disabled, but they're taking their pet, or they may be disabled, but the dog does not have the training necessary to be a service dog to fulfill the requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And they're imposing fines and public service and things like that on these people. I personally not a big proponent of more legislation. However, it feels kind of good to know that, for instance, in the state of North Carolina, you can get fined for taking a pet in and demanding that it's a service dog. I'm really torn. I'm not a big government person, but at the same time, this is something that people have been taking advantage of and abusing to the cost. But the cost is to the disabled community who uses service dogs.
Exactly. And if you compare the quote-unquote fake service dogs with mm-hmm. our human version of Stolen Valor, you know, that takes a lot away from the veterans and the individuals who sacrificed their lives for their country.
Absolutely agree. Yeah.
And, you know, to be paraded around as such when you have not earned that title, that is a big disrespect, and you are creating havoc in that world.
Yeah.
So between the both comparisons, you know, it's very important that there are a little bit of legislation and laws in place to protect those who are serving and protecting and helping their community every day.
Yeah, yeah. It's created a lot of havoc, and it's created an atmosphere of adversity for legitimate handlers. And specifically, one of the areas where adversity is really very publicly evident is air travel. You're about to go to Hollywood with Roxy. I assume you're going to fly?
Yes, we're flying from our home area to LAX, mm-hmm. and we have bulkhead seating.
Mm-hmm.
And so luckily, Roxy does not have to go under the plane. She sits right in the cabin with me.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is the law. As your service dog, the Air Carriers Access Act protects your right to use your service dog in the plane while you are flying. But more specifically, a couple of airlines have banned, quote-unquote, pit bulls or bully breeds as service animals on planes. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a very gray area. And when people loosely throw the term pit bull around, if mm-hmm. they do a little bit of research, an American Pit Bull Terrier is what they refer to as a game dog. Mm-hmm. And that dog is genetically bred to not be able to be a service dog. They do other things. And so when they say banning of pit bulls, okay, you know, I understand that maybe this type of dog is not recommended to be on flights, but then they are negatively stereotyping a dog like Roxy, a Staffordshire Terrier, American Staffordshire Terrier, mm-hmm. as an American Pit Bull Terrier.
Right.
So they're singling a dog out just based on looks. And for an airline to do that, that's not very fair, because they're not really doing their research and education mm-hmm. on what type of dog they're really banning.
Yeah.
And, yeah. you know, I can understand it. Go ahead.
And again, the ADA and the ACAA and the FHA, the Air Carriers Access Act and the Fair Housing Act, none of them ban specific breeds from being service animals. None of them. So any breed ban is technically a violation of federal law.
And that's where that gray area, because being flights, it's federal, you know, the mm-hmm. airlines have. And so I don't see how one federal law can trump another federal law. That's why we just don't fly with those people. Luckily, we are flying with American Airlines. They accept Roxy and her breed there. Mm-hmm. They do not discriminate. They have already started to accommodate us before our flight, so everything's going to go perfect. It's going to go smooth. I'm sure there's not going to be any issue. The only issue is me getting lost in a terminal somewhere in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's. I've been to the LAX terminal. Good luck to you. Take your GPS with you.
Being a small town country boy here, and then you're putting me in the middle of a city. This is definitely the Beverly Hillbillies going to Hollywood here. So,
don't forget your suspenders.
Oh, I reckon I'll get my boots. It's going to get deep out there.
Well, Justin, I've really had a good time talking with you. Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Give Miss Roxy extra belly rubs and treats.
And see, that's the thing. It's not about me. Yes, I am the veteran, but it's all about Roxy. I just happen to be her person. Yep, it's all about Roxy. This is her time.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm more excited for her, and she's just going to be another day for her. You know, she's just another day on the job, just in a different place.
Yeah. Well, I'm really thrilled. Again, when will the program air on the Hallmark Channel?
Yes, the American Humane Hero Dog Awards. The gala is September 29th. That's when it will be recorded. But then it will air on the Hallmark Channel October 24th. It'll be about a two-hour premiere. And so just check your local listings and see when the Hero Dogs premiere on the Hallmark Channel in your area.
Okay, and where can we find Roxy?
You can find Roxy on literally every social media from Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. It's Roxy, the PTSD service dog.
All righty. Well, Justin, thank you very much for joining us for the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I also happen to be the author of the book PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and the Service Dog, which I wrote because there wasn't a book that answered all the questions I had when I started handling Skeeter and training him, my PTSD service dog. It answers a lot of the questions and discusses a lot of the things we talked about on the show tonight, especially public access, how to deal with businesses when they don't want to let you in, all kinds of things like that. You can find the book, PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and the Service Dog, at booklocker.com, amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com. You've been listening to The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR.